You're listening to Driving Law, a podcast by Kyla Lee about all things related to the rules of the road.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Driving Law. I am Kyla Lee at Acumen Law, and with me, my co-host, Paul Doroshenko.
Let's get it moving, Kyla. Another week of Driving Law.
Yeah. We're not a news podcast, we're a law podcast. But
let's get right to it, Kyla. Another week of Driving Law.
Okay. Well, I don't know why you're using your broadcaster voice, but it's
just for fun.
Okay. All right.
I'm excited about doing the podcast. I always enjoy doing it with you.
Yeah. So I wanted to give an update on a story that we talked about last week about the government grant system with Edison Motors and the potential investigation by the Auditor General into bias in how the grants are handed out, because there's new information, sort of.
So we're a news podcast.
No.
We're repeating news that we saw in other location podcast and giving the analysis.
No, and improperly administering grants. We talked about how that's potentially fraud.
Yes.
It's law.
There's lots of law there, actually. And so let's talk about some of the developments this week.
But one of the big developments is that the head of Edison Motors has apparently received a letter. Nobody has seen it yet. They haven't released it to the public or anything. But they've received a letter from MNP, which I think you and I can both surmise what type of letter this is.
Yes, it's the old cease and desist and govern yourself accordingly letter, which we often joke about.
Shots. If the letter ever comes out, shots. Yes. For everyone. If govern yourself accordingly.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Just count on it. It will be there. That's my bet. I'm not buying the shots, but I will encourage everybody.
But I also think it's probably, like, you know, step one of a defamation claim, right? Is you send the letter and you say, hey, stop making these defamatory statements. We're going to sue you.
Sure. Industrial defamation. And of course, what are the defenses to a defamation case, Kyla?
Truth.
Yeah. And if you got the receipts, that makes it really problematic.
And they do have the receipts. If you watched This Is Van Color last week with my friend Mo Amir, Mo Amir posted a video that had previously been unreleased to the public with a recording of Chase from Edison Motors on the phone with someone from MNP who was making some concerning statements about how the grant should be submitted. You know, oh, it should come from you and not from us, because otherwise that might look bad because we're the ones deciding it.
Yes. And so that's a problem. Certainly a defense to a defamation claim.
Hell, too. I keep cutting you off.
Go ahead. No, I want you to continue, because your legal brain is always sharper than my legal brain.
From what I can tell, too, like from the information that I've seen, the TikToks and the media interviews, he hasn't said they are committing fraud or they are doing this. He said it doesn't seem fair. And I don't think, you know, I don't feel
he doesn't think this is appropriate. He doesn't think this is right. And of course, then there's that one person's email. It isn't fair. You're right, if this is the way it's taking place. There was other news stories as well about this same business, same company, same consulting firm, granting other grants, making the decisions on other grants where it looks like they are implicated potentially in a conflict there. And significant amounts of money where it looks like it would be a significant kickback. There was some grant I saw, I think it was $1 million grant. So this is something that, as I said last week, is the type of thing that brings a government down. And one of the things that people probably don't know, and I know firsthand because I was involved in government and particularly involved in and bringing government down at a lawsuit that was dealing with a government that was spending money with its contractors, the same contractors who would then be responsible for its advertising campaign once the election started, right? This is a fairly common thing. So you've got these various different businesses that are aligned to either the, I guess maybe the Conservatives now in BC, but aligned to formerly the BC Liberals or the NDP. And when they get in power, they end up getting contracts, and they're no-bid contracts for work. And a lot of them are mostly to deal with government messaging and key government things that they want to get done. And so they will just allow, so long as the services charged are reasonable, they will allow those things to take place. And so marketing, media management, and things like that are not put up for bid. The company that gets it is the company that's connected with the party. And so, you know, the BC Liberals, when I, acting on behalf of British Columbia, and sued them and the government years ago, the party that was, or the company that was handling the government advertising, was at the moment the writ is dropped, switching gears, no longer dealing with government advertising and suddenly dealing with BC Liberal advertising. And you're thinking to yourself, what did that last government check cover? Right. Here we've got a company that is apparently connected to the NDP. At least that would be, you know, that's one of the allegations that I read. And obviously they're connected with the government. It's the type of organization where they can avoid the no-bid contract to handle those things, or, you know, they can be the ones who come in low, but they have some little bird whispered to them about what they should bid or something like that. Or it was put out on a Friday afternoon and the deadline to submit your application was Monday morning. Those are the types of things, unfortunately, that really make people cynical because, you know, as the judge said in my case, tax money isn't the people's money. Tax money is the government's money. You know, you never had it in the first place because you were subject to paying it no matter what. But people view it, rightly or wrongly, as their tax money.
How many police reports have we read where somebody says, oh, I pay your salary?
Yeah, my taxes pay your salary. Actually, I haven't seen that many.
I've seen.
There's been a few. That's what people view it. Taxes, your taxes, I'll tell you right now, are money that never belonged to you in the first place because the government was always due. And that was the view that the court took. It's not your money and you have no interest in it. Your only interest is changing the government. But these are things that don't normally become topics that lead to being a major issue in an election. But we are not far off from an election in BC.
No.
And this is the type of thing that should be an issue. I thought it should be an issue when I, you know, found out that this is the way that this game is played. But, you know, it just continues on. And you like to think that the NDP are more ethical than the BC Liberals. But I'll tell you the one thing I found when I was working for the BC Liberals is that the NDP would do things just like any other party. They'll pull out all the stops. They'll push it right to the edge. They'll do things that you or I would think are completely inappropriate to try and win. And it's combat.
I mean, politicians do that.
It's combat. Well, it's not as open as you, like, it's much worse behind the scenes than it is what's open to the public. I could tell you some of the stories of some of the things the NDP did. And I assume that the BC Liberals did too when I was working for them that I didn't know about.
The other thing I think is going to be interesting to see play out in this Edison Motors thing is if there is a lawsuit, like if a lawsuit is launched, this would be a good case for the application of anti-SLAPP legislation. And David Eby, after news came out that MMP had sent a letter to Edison basically being like, shut the fuck up or we'll sue you. David Eby even said, look, they'd better be very careful if they do lodge a lawsuit because we have legislation in BC specifically for this. If it is a matter of public interest and you are reasonably contributing to public discourse on the public interest matter, you cannot be sued in defamation.
Well, and I think if they were to lodge it, bearing in mind how carefully Edison Motors guy has been, I mean, he's been very wise in how he's revealed the information. He's done it in a manner that's very fair from, you know, laid out from their perspective. But as you pointed out, like he has been, you know, just sort of laid out the evidence and said, I don't think this is right that this is how this seems, to play out. So, you know, and the realm of it going wrong for you in litigation, yeah, this could really go wrong for them in litigation. Now, you know, they might want to do it for strategic reasons. to protect the NDP if they think that this is something that they can keep quiet for a year. As I say, this is the type of thing where the government steps into it themselves and ultimately implodes because of some stupid thing done by one ministry where the people should have known better. And, you know, there may be absolutely no kickback benefit to the NDP or anybody connected to the NDP at all. But the fact that they hired a company and didn't know that this is what was going on with that company is a huge concern. And one wonders about anybody who's contracted with that company in the last few years. You know, there could be a potential remedy if you paid that amount of money and didn't know that they were, you know, in cahoots, I guess, for lack of a better word. You may be able to recover some of that money down the road. And I'm sure a lot of people who have paid that consulting fee, if there are any, but anybody who has, maybe there's not a lot of people, anyone who has is probably sitting thinking to themselves, maybe I should talk to my lawyer to see whether or not it was appropriate for me to have been compelled to pay that fee.
Yep. Moving on to something that maybe the NDP did that was good.
Okay. I'm not knocking the NDP here. I mean, these are individual decisions. And unfortunately, you know, people work on the conspiracy view. They're individual decisions or decisions by very small groups of people. Anyway, moving on to the good things.
So
maybe.
We talked maybe like a year ago almost about legislation that had been tabled that quickly passed, dealing with major overhauls to the Motor Vehicle Act, like safe passing distance, vulnerable road users, and
cameras in heavy trucks.
Yeah. Yep, and we've seen the rollout of some of it, but the most recent ones to roll out are now the self-driving vehicle regulations.
So, yeah, for anybody who doesn't understand how this works, the government passes a piece of legislation, and then in the legislation they say that provisions will be enacted by regulation. Regulation is just an order in council, so they can do that in a very short period of time when they feel that they've got everything set up to make that legislation actually function. Then they go in with a document, an order in council, they hand it to the lieutenant governor, who signs it and says what day the law is going to come into effect. And a bunch of things came into effect on like 5th or the 8th or something like that. When was it?
It was the 5th. And also, as you're talking about regulations, it occurred to me that there were a bunch of really nefarious regulations.
Oh my goodness.
Like waiting to be enacted, like literally things that passed, like turning traffic court into a tribunal under the BC Liberal government, now BC United. You know, that legislation passed and it was never enacted. All it requires is depositing something by order in council.
Well, they have to set it all up too, which is a huge expense. And but yes, there is also, you know, and lots of nefarious things are just in regulations too. The government wrote a piece of legislation that they enacted that said the superintendent of motor vehicles can create their own evidence, and they could create all sorts of other evidence by regulation just because it's a very broad and open-ended thing. The courts might take a dim view of it, but the courts have also said that the government can do things that are unfair when it comes to the IRP scheme. So,
yep.
So what do we have for new? Let's talk about it.
We have are with autonomous vehicles. And I had thought that BC would enact the regulations to allow level one autonomous driving, which is basically like, you know, your cruise control and your lane assist. But they're actually allowing more levels of autonomous driving. So BC's sort of self-driving ban is allowing level one and level two autonomous driving in BC.
So what is level two covered, you know?
So level one, like I said, is just your, you know, your cruise control, your lane position assist, so you don't deviate out of your lane and hit something. That's great. Everybody should have that in their cars. Those are modern safety features that make perfect sense. Level two also includes things like Tesla's current self-driving model, where you have to occupy the driver's seat and you have to have your hands on the steering wheel.
Or a water bottle tied to this.
And you do need to take some steps. Yes, don't do that, please. You will get charged, probably with dangerous driving. The because they'll charge anybody with that these days. The level two also includes like any sort of like automation for speeding up and slowing down, matching the flow of traffic. Like basically,
I have that in my 2016 Honda.
All of the self-driving mechanisms that are currently available in consumer vehicles sold in Canada are legal.
But Teslas have more advanced self-driving.
That's level two.
That steer for you, change lanes for you, gets you from one destination to the next?
Yep, because it requires you to be occupying the driver's seat and still take over control of the vehicle at certain points.
Well, Tesla drivers will say this is good news. And I will tell you, the Tesla drivers are going to end up forming a community down the road. And they're going to be a lobby group down the road. And because they're angry about the fact that eventually, they are going to lose their HOV, free HOV because I'm in electric car status. But this will placate them. Is that the pronunciation of that phrase? I don't know. I'm never certain. It'll satisfy them a little bit. It'll look like the government's on their side because it's facilitating the use of those features.
Yep.
But I guess the government is concerned about new features coming out because otherwise this would have not been necessary to enact at this time.
Yes, well, they are because, of course, we've seen companies like in San Francisco, the company Waymo, which is basically offering driverless Uber. So you can get in a Waymo. It's a driverless car. You get in the back seat and it drives you to your destination that you've programmed in there.
Now, think about how many Uber drivers that will put out of work. And Uber is, whatever you feel about Uber, lots of things that people dislike about Uber. And I understand that and you can criticize it, but it is a easy gateway for people who otherwise could not rely on their resume to get work, despite the fact that they might be fully capable of getting work. So new immigrants, there's always been those types of jobs. And this is actually a really good one for people driving an Uber. But yes, that will be, that's a threat to Uber. But this legislation also had all sorts of other things that could come out, like robots driving on the sidewalk and things like that, that have to be come enacted by the regulations. And of course, there's got to be regulations that go along with it to facilitate it, not just enact the legislation. My issue.
Wait, I want to finish telling you about Waymo in San Francisco.
Go ahead.
There's a hilarious story that you're going to love.
Go ahead.
So on Lunar New Year, there was a Jaguar F-Pace, an expensive vehicle to begin with, equipped with 29 cameras to facilitate this driverless technology, one of the Waymo vehicles. It was driving through like a crowd, lawfully driving, but still driving through a crowd of people celebrating Lunar New Year. And somebody lit a firework and threw it inside the vehicle. And of course, there's no driver, right? So the vehicle doesn't know that there's a firework inside the vehicle.
And it kept driving?
Vehicle catches fire and the crowd surrounds it. And basically, like, they beat the car to death in the crowd, this poor self-driving car.
This is terrible. People are awful. And I don't know if you've seen some of these videos of people beating up robots on the street in the U.S. I don't know. Let me see. About 7 years ago, sent not really a robot, but sort of a probe looking like a cute little robot to try and hitchhike across the country with instructions on it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of people helping it and facilitating it, some people did, but a lot of people just like beat the hell out of it. And eventually it didn't make it very far before it was destroyed. And we've seen these robots in some American cities driving around.
Remember that robot that we saw, that food delivery robot in Austin? I wanted to tip that thing over.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean,
this urge.
It's in the way and it's a robot. And you think to yourself, I'm a human. I should have the right of way over this robot. We're just going to have to get used to it. If you see that General Dynamics new robot that they released this week, they retired their old robot that used jumping. Yeah, well, that robot's going to have right of way over you. I'll tell you right now, you're going to get out of the way of that thing if it's walking down the street, which it could happen much sooner than we imagine because Tesla's working on it too. Noteworthy, Tesla laid off 14,000 people in the last week. And there's lots of theories about why. I will tell you why. You don't have to have a theory. You can have it from me. I know all when it comes to these things. It's because there's market saturation for Teslas. There was a bunch of people waiting to buy Teslas for the years. There was a market, a fixed market of a certain number of people who were like going to be early adapters for those things who were going to buy right away. And there will continue to be sales, and there will be continue to be people buying. But that led to a huge amount of growth for them over a short period of time. And now they're going to have to reassess because other competitors are out there. And the people who wanted Teslas have got them.
Well, also, you know, the super truck or whatever it's called.
Cybertruck.
Yeah. I just saw a picture of like thousands of them just sitting unused in a lot.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. They've got their issues, apparently.
Yeah.
The Elon Musk was saying how basically you could use it like a boat. And there's a video on the internet of this floods in Dubai, I guess it was. Of somebody in their regular old Tesla, and it's floating like a boat, and they're going short period distance in their Tesla like a boat. But the Cybertruck, there's a video of it driving through a puddle and something shorting out. I just looks to me like a flop. And he was commenting that it might be a flop. I'm sure there will be people who love it, but there's all these videos of guys stuck on, you know, relatively not stuck worthy terrain in their Cybertruck. So we'll see where that one goes. But I guess they could try and do that now in semi-autonomous mode.
They could.
They could just ask their Cybertruck, do it yourself, drive out of here. I'm in the driver's seat.
Now, Paul, let me talk to you about why we might need autonomous driving like we have regulated in BC. And this brings us to
the ridiculous driver of the week.
A surprising bestseller? The pinpoint method of cross-examination is catching on. Law firms and new litigators across Canada have caught on to cross-examination, the pinpoint method. Kyla Lee's straightforward handbook that teaches you effective cross-examination skills.
Oh, excellent.
And this man, had he had autonomous driving, would never have had to encounter the police.
Oh my goodness.
So this is...
Is it Florida?
No. This is a case out of Rossland, BC, small town in the Kootenays of British Columbia. A trail and Greater District RCMP officer responded to a report of a single vehicle crash in Rossland, 3 p.m. Sunday afternoon. So, like, not the time that you would expect alcohol. Somebody just, like, behind the wheel, totally smashed up car.
There can be lots of reasons for that. And deer run across the road in Rossland.
Front end damage. The vehicle collided with a concrete barrier.
Oh, well, there you go. Swerved to avoid the deer crossing the road.
All innocent explanations. And Paul, an animal was involved.
Okay.
You see, this man told the police the reason he got in the accident was because as he was driving down the highway, he was reaching for a piece of fried chicken.
Oh, well, I mean...
Lost control of the car.
Look, I think I can sympathize with that one. There's plenty of times I've been reaching for fried chicken while driving. I've managed to maintain my lane position, but, you know, if it's fried chicken. Lots of times, like, think of the smell of McDonald's French fries. How many times you've reached into the bag, despite the fact that you weren't planning on eating it as you were driving. Sometimes the smell's overwhelming. Yeah. I mean, that's a complete excuse.
Do you want to know what makes matters worse for this poor?
I hope they're not chicken man. He shouldn't really even be at fault.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he's not going to be covered in his insurance because turns out his insurance was expired at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
So the police also gave him a $598 ticket for driving without insurance, which I think is a little cruel because he's not going to be covered. This is the most expensive bucket of fried chicken. $598 for the ticket.
Any indication about what type of vehicle? Your make and model? No.
No. But extensive front-end damage is what the news stories are saying. So probably a write-off.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's hope it was a $2,000 vehicle and not a $20,000 vehicle.
Let's hope it was a really good bucket of fried chicken.
Indeed. Well, you couldn't.
All right. That's our podcast. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Driving Law. I'm Kyla Lee at Acumen Law. And if you want to catch us after a fried chicken incident of your own, you can find us at VancouverCriminalLaw.com or give us a call at 604-685-8889 and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Driving Law.